not the intensity of the shout that brings forth Lazarus, because at that point Lazarus was physically deaf. It was a call in the spirit. If you had just whispered at the door, Lazarus. Lazarus will have come forth. Do you know what I'm saying? All the shout is, he said it himself. All this talk, so that they will know that you sent me. What am I saying? Persuasion. He uttered out of what? Persuasion. This is what faith is. Listen to what I'm saying again. Real faith is that I have taken the book of information, or I have tuned my ears to the frequency of information from God. And everything I hear him say, and everything I read that he said, every single thing forms my new perspective concerning life, and I believe those words totally. And when I utter because I am persuaded. So Paul said, we are speaking. Go and read that 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said, just like the one that has a spirit of faith, I believed, therefore I did what? I spoke. I am not speaking because I am trying to believe. I'm not speaking because I'm trying to make something happen that I strongly desire, I am not sure of. I speak because I'm what? Persuaded. That's what faith is. I discovered, if you spend too much energy praying about something material, know for sure, hear ye the word of the Lord, you are not walking in faith, you are walking in unbelief. Because Jesus said something, if you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, every material thing will be added. Every single material thing will be added. I'm not saying you never ask for things. I said when you spend too much energy and you wake up in the morning and the thing will not come to pass, except you focus on it and draw a diagram of it and put it on the wall and be calling it to be every morning you are calling it. Listen, my brethren, I think you're out of faith. You are beginning to slip into spiritualism. That's why you hear people say that these are things that Muslims do and they get results. Have you heard that thing before? That's what I tell you, it's not faith. If it was faith, Muslims couldn't do it. Buddhists couldn't do it. Because faith has to do with the promises of God. They are only confirmed in Christ Jesus. Period. Therefore, if a Buddhist practices it and it gets results, that's spiritualism. It's not faith. If a Muslim does it and it gets results, it tells you spiritualism. It's not faith. The confusion in the life of believers is that we think spiritualism and spirituality are the same thing. They are not. So once you start bragging that even Muslims know these things. Let me say it again. I'm not saying they are evil. After all, Muslims know how to cook edika ekong, don't they? Muslims can make meat pie. They can make donuts. They can pound yam. They can make cars. They can fly airplanes. They are good things. If it is real faith, if you are not of faith in Christ Jesus, you can't tap into it. I'm bringing something in all of this as I'm saying. So let's talk about building strong faith. You know, that's where we started from. So when we're bringing strong faith, let's first know what is faith, Zef. He said, that brother just called that car to be Yegbe. My God, if my own faith can reach that level, I can have 3 cars now. You see, you know you're no longer walking by faith. Do you get what I'm saying? Because real faith has to do with drawing closer to God, entrenching yourself more in the will of God. And the more you entrench yourself inside the will of God, the less you are impressed by the fact that somebody called out material things. That's why when they told Jesus, call out bread, he said, that's not faith. I don't know where I get my point. If Satan came up to him, he said, are you not the Son of God? He said, I am. Turn the stones to bread. He said, why should I do that? Real faith. It's not that I demonstrate the fact that I know how to practice spiritualism, which was what Satan was telling him to do. He said, no. Real faith is that I understand that wherever I am, God has a word concerning my situation. Therefore, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. That's what real faith is. I hope you're getting my point. That's why it's possible, you know, if you don't, if the way we used to preach faith, we thought that a man couldn't die by faith. But Paul said it clearly in the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, read very clearly that men laid down their heads by faith. That men rejected deliverance, that they might get a better resurrection. And they did it by faith. That means they died in faith. That is, they chose death as a result of their faith. When Jesus went to the cross, it wasn't out of desire. You saw it. You saw it. You've read it in the Bible. Was it out of desire? No. It was out of the sense of purpose. You know, last time I was talking about sowing into the Spirit. I talked about love. I said, let me talk about purpose. One of the fundamental things that makes our faith work strong in life is that knowledge of divine purpose. Listen, I am not saying you must know what God said you should go and do. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you should know that He has a purpose. Do you get my point? That's where we start from. Before we start discussing what is the purpose concerning my life specifically, we must just know that first of all, He has a purpose. Therefore, you don't just jump up and claim a visa by force. Do you understand what I mean? Just because you desire a better country, physically speaking. Just because you desire what Englishman calls a greener pasture. No. Before you do that, the first thing you first imagine in your mind, gosh, God must have a place where I'm supposed to be now. What I always preach against is when people think that greener pastures always means the will of God. You don't just resign a job and pick up another one all of a sudden because the pay is better. That's like you're not reasoning with purpose. I'm not saying you never resign jobs, ever say so. I'm not saying you never pick better jobs, ever say so, financially speaking now. No, I'm saying you don't do it, you know, rashly without any idea of it might be the will of God that I'm here. You don't just wake up and walk out into something that you think is better. I told you there was a time God kept me banking, jobless, materially speaking, physically speaking, that it might happen that one day everybody will gather and listen to me like you are listening now. And if you are listening on CD, that it will happen that somebody will sit down and listen to what I am saying. That it will happen that somebody will tune his TV in the morning on a Saturday and watch what I'm teaching. That it will happen that somebody will tune his radio and say, where is Pastor Banky since Cosmo FM went down? God says, so that may happen. Banky, I don't want to do any job for now. Then when I became too restless, he said, fine. I will give you a job only at night. Listen to me. Listen. Listen. I know what I'm telling you. The day I became restless, the next day I got that job. And no, listen to what I'm saying. I don't mean that after that things began to work. No. I mean, one night I went home, I laid and said, Lord, no, come on, I have to be doing something, I'm tired. Next day, I had not gone out. My friend, Augustine Wuto, he came downstairs. I said, hey, we'll call him Paoto. I said, Paoto, what's happening? Come up. And I said, no, I'm in a hurry. Take this address down. He gave me the address. He said, go there, they need a doctor. Listen to me, my brethren, the next morning, when I got there, he said, sorry, we need doctors only for night duties. So I took a job working at night. That is, because okay, you listen, all right, no problem. We'll settle this way. I still won't give you a proper job because I need, and listen to me, I continue my lifestyle in that clinic. Not be night. Most of the time, I just sit down there, put tape in, they listen to messages. I still continue my lifestyle. During the day, I will sleep, wake up, continue the same lifestyle. Until the time that God said, fine. We have loaded enough. You cannot loot now. Say, okay, come and start your postgraduate training. We now resumed. First week of January, 1995. Later, I was talking to my colleague, Dr. Daramola. He said, when you first came that time, you looked like, he said, you talked like you were fresh out of a Bible school. I didn't even realize it. Because as God is my witness, I had the scripture for every situation. No. You don't get what I'm saying. Somebody's purse may fall down. And he's bending to pick it up. I was saying, the Lord said, I have power to lay down. I have power to take it up. No, that was how I used to talk.
No, listen. I had the scripture for every situation. Somebody may laugh. I say, why are you laughing like the Lord? He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. That's how I used to answer people. A man can be laughing and say, your mouth is filled with laughter. What has the Lord done for you? We are your neighbor. We are saying it is of the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our sight. That's how I used to respond to every single situation. I told you the day one lady saw me, I was sitting there, she turned to talk to me, so I just turned to talk to her. Her name is, what's her name? Linda Foss. I said, did I startle you? I said, startle me? Nothing is big enough to startle me. No, I said, did I scare you? I said, scare me? Nothing is big enough to scare me. That was the time I took a stick and I was walking like somebody said, duck at 60. I said, he satisfies my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed like an eagle's. Listen, you know, I had this. There was no situation. I either had a direct scripture or had a quotation from the mouth of Bishop Oyedepo or Kennedy Hagin to end them. Every discussion. That was why Tola Das, Dr. Ramal, looked at me one day and said, you looked like you were fresh out of a Bible school. God had a purpose for that time. It will have been utter foolishness of madness. So to say, I saw that job where they are paying so much money, hallelujah. And I began to call it. I called it. I began to call. And I was calling. After calling for 1 week, you see, if you call hard enough, God will tire, give you the job. And you lose the Congregation of Kingdom World Ministries. See, real faith is having a sense of what? Purpose. That's why we read Galatians, what they call it? Jeremiah chapter 31. Let's go back there. See what God said to Joshua. Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with these people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them. You shall give it to them as an inheritance. Let me ask you a question. Who is giving it to them as an inheritance? Who is giving it to them as an inheritance? Who is giving it to them as an inheritance? Oh, you see, hey, I wanted to get to that level. Some said God, some said Joshua. Whichever one you said, you're correct. God is the one giving it to them. But God now turned around and said, Joshua, go and give it to them on my behalf. Whichever one you say, you're correct. What am I saying? Be strong and be courageous. It's for a purpose. What's that purpose? So that you can give it to them as an inheritance. I'm bringing an issue. As long as Joshua focuses on giving Israel a land as an inheritance, listen to me, courage will be thrown into him as a manifestation of the Spirit. That's what I'm preaching. Listen, courage will enter him. Joshua was not going to struggle to be courageous. Are you getting my point? Once he has a sense of purpose, courage. I've told this story before. A woman ran into a burning house 4 or 5 times because her children were inside. If there's anybody whining and grumbling about the country, he has no purpose, no sense of direction. He doesn't have anything he wants to achieve. This woman was burnt severely. I don't know whether she finally survived the fire incident, but all her children survived. Her house caught fire. She ran outside. Saw she was the only one outside. She ran back inside. Found the first child. Ran outside. Heard another one cry. Ran back inside. Rescued all the children. She was getting burnt each time. And then she was through. She was thoroughly burnt. Lack of courage is lack of purpose. Any man, a woman is not going anywhere, not trying to achieve anything, can't take any challenge. I told you about a story I read long ago in Reader's Digest, so a few years ago. A man was called a hero. You know, Americans like to celebrate things like that. Hero, hero, hero. If you watch, in fact, they're CNN heroes. Heroes, heroes. He said he didn't understand why they called him a hero, because he did what to him was natural, responsible, common sense. They were in a plane crash. The plane crashed into a field, and good enough they survived, but you had to evacuate quickly before it catches fire. So he ran outside. As he was about to step outside, he heard a baby cry. So to everybody's shock, everybody was running, he turned around and went back into a plane that was about to catch fire. In the darkness and the smoke and everything, he was fishing around for a baby. Finally got to where the baby was crying, losing the baby, cried the baby, and ran out of the plane. And he said, hero, hero. He said, what is hero in it? I heard the baby cry. You think I can walk away where a baby is crying? He didn't understand the heroism in what he did. Do you get the point I'm making? So where does courage come from? Not by waking up in the morning and saying, courage, hope, boldness, I call you. That one on modern Pentecostal preaching and excitement. Courage comes from having a sense of purpose. Do you understand my point? If you know, I was born to help these people inherit the land, and you meditate on the book day and night. Listen, courage, strength, we enter into it. In fact, it is not because you are trying. No, that's what I, listen, a lot of stories you hear about in life, they are actually divine manifestations, but because the people didn't know God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Do you follow my point? Because they don't know God, they don't know how to explain it. Because the Holy Spirit does not only enter into believers. Unbelievers receive anointing, operate the Holy Spirit, the work of God, and then the Holy Spirit disappears again. You want to prove it to you? Many scriptures did now. My best is a donkey. If a donkey can receive the anointing, a human being that's an unbeliever can receive it. When Saul was walking in sin, he stumbled into the midst of prophets. What happened to him? He prophesied. What I'm saying is, a lot of things you see people do in life that are so heroic is the Holy Spirit entering into them to cause them to do those things at those moments. And what people don't realize is the Holy Spirit, because they don't understand how to acknowledge God. The truth is that the people did something and God poured the Spirit into them at that moment. Do you get my point? Like this woman I was telling you about. It's possible the Holy Spirit said, no, this children are not going to die. So when the woman rushed against the fire and God saw her heart ready to face the fire for her children's sake, he poured the Spirit inside her. Which was what happened to David. Listen, normal teenagers don't kill lions. Did you hear what I said? You see, maybe you should watch National Geographic and they'll describe the size of a bear for you. You will know that David couldn't have killed that bear. It was God that killed the bear using the hand of David. When you describe an animal that's weigh maybe 500 kg. Hey, even lion they fear when bear they pass. If the lion is alone, he go look, he say, why take the risk? I'm telling you, bear is massive an animal. And David went after it. All God wanted was a heart that wanted to go after it. Then the spirit of after it went into David. Strength entered his heart. No, listen. You don't run after a bear and just snatch food, come off in hand. And you go lady, you can't go like that. Say, okay, David, don't do it again. The next time, you go rough. No. What I'm trying to explain, I'm talking about seed, all right, and fruit. Seed and what? Fruit. What I'm making is that when we sow the right seeds, what's the right seed into the spirit? He said, he that sows to his flesh, we from that flesh report corruption. The last time I explained something, that once we are doing work, what I mean is this, we are outputting something into the lives of other people, that spiritual seed. When you have the right sense of purpose, and your life begins to face the direction of purpose, what you are doing is that you are putting seed into the ground. And that is what returns to you as courage. That's what returns to you as boldness. That's what returns to you as stronger faith. The reason why our faiths are not increasing as believers is because our faiths are turned around and facing us alone. Actually, we are our so-called faith is actually sowing to our own flesh. And all we are reaping from our flesh is corruption. How? Through discouragement. The hope that is deferred makes the heart faint. The more faith we exercise, the less we receive, the more we become discouraged. Eventually we say, come on, that thing doesn't work like they said. men who really believe, they never say something doesn't work like they say, because they made a commitment to die for it if necessary. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. So they can't say that it doesn't. What? Like, I told a story once that one day one of my chiefs saw me with the Bible and saw the way my life was. Say, you're a Christian. I said, yes. He said, me too. I was at the time, but it was not worth it. I said, what was not worth what? That was the question I asked him. Chief, what was not worth what? That is, what is Christianity? What were you expecting? How were you disappointed? Are you getting my point? What is Christianity? Because I can't tell you it was not worth it. What have I lost? Please explain it to a small boy that he was when he was in school. What did he lose for Christ? A child can never tell you something was not worth it. What does he have? When your friends were womanizing, you couldn't. What is good about that? I don't understand for people. As far as I'm concerned, a man is supposed to make a woman happy. So why should I be chasing 20 people to make them happy? It's an investment. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. So if God says, no, Banky, make one woman happy. I said, thank you. It's cheaper. You know, it's cheaper. How do they look my back when they walk out for road? Face front. So you tell me it wasn't worth it. What? No, please explain. What am I losing? I don't know what I get. I'm going to explain. I don't get the point. What is it that I am losing? He said, if it's not because you're a Christian, you could do like this and make money. You see, it's children. Solomon said, vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. So why should losing vanity be what would be something that I would be worried about? In my little life, I know enough to know money does not mean anything. The Frenchman has a saying, talking about women. He said, if you love many women, you've loved none at all. If you love one woman, you have loved them all. One woman. That's what the Frenchman said about women. And that's what Solomon said. I discovered that many women is what? Vanity upon vanity. I discovered that there's nothing better than for a man to rejoice with his wife of his youth. Solomon was not writing by faith. He was writing out of experience. I tell men, just read the life of Solomon. You won't live the rubbish life you are living. Because where Solomon reached, you will reach there too. You will discover that you are wasting time. You see, we can never prove Solomon wrong. If you say something is bad, eventually you discover. Look, Solomon was not being philosophical. Though. He was not being religious. He was describing pure experience. And many men who have followed the path of Solomon have described exactly the same experiences. So when the man said it was not worth it, I asked him, please, what was not worth what? You are sowing seeds for your future, either good seeds or bad seeds. And God is giving you direction, the word of wisdom, concerning how to do that which is right. You are telling me it was not worth it. I can't get the point. What was not worth what? So I told him, I said, Chief, you never were a Christian. Yeah, that's the summary of it. You never were. You never were. You didn't understand the right thing. I'm bringing an issue. That's why people get disappointed, because they don't understand what real faith is. They told him all you need to do is, hey, Ishagababa, mululolo, mululolo, then you become a multimillionaire. The first they did, he said, it didn't work. He said, no, you continue the confession. After 1 year of confessing, in mouth done, they changed contour. The guy said, this was is not worth it. Do you understand my point? That's why it was not worth it now. That's why it wasn't worth it. So for all this sacrifice I've made, so that God can give me something, he didn't give me anything. That's why he's saying, no, really, that's the reason. That's why he's shouting, he was not worth it. This is the point I'm making. A sense of purpose is a seed into the realm of the spirit. When we are doing things, we have a knowledge that God has a plan for our lives. And when we give our lives to Christ, now we're talking faith basics. These are the fundamental things that every believer should know. When you give your life to Christ, what you did was to start accepting, finally, the will that God has for your life. And attaching yourself to the will of God for your life is what real faith is. Do you get my point? That is what real faith is. Faith is not how to get what I want. No. Faith is how to discover what he has given, that I might receive that which he has given. By faith, we discover those things that he has given to us, and they said they are our own. Those are the things we receive. We don't, by faith, enter into competition. Do you get my point? Because I've said this several times. You know, there are times, look, about ministry, I told you before. Listen. So I like to add this because somebody may be in ministry and listen to our messages, okay? Or planning for it. You have to know what is ministry. What I mean is this. I've been to churches. You say, oh, these people, they have a hall that can seat 25,000 people and they have 4 services. I said, that is nice. Do you know, I have never prayed to God about it. And let me tell you the truth. It's not necessary a prayer. It's not. Now, this is banking. Now, you know, my reason is not because it's a bad thing. Did I say that? It's not a bad thing. I just know that as of today, this is 2010. I don't know about 2025. In 2025, either I backslide or I get a new direction. What I'm saying is, if you see me start shouting, praise the Lord, God is moving, now we are 500,000. Just know, is that because of backsliding or because I now have a new vision? You can't tell which one. A lot of people you are following, they missed the road long ago. You hear what I said? A lot of people that men are celebrating, they missed the road long ago. What happened was, after they missed the road, they began to become rich. After they missed the road, they began to gather a large congregation. After they missed the road, their suits got finer. After they missed the road, they began to speak smoothly. After they missed the road, they began to be known everywhere. So men began to celebrate. And God said, look at them. They are following a man that's not going anywhere anymore. That's why I added that one to it. But for my life, as of today, I'm so focused on teaching the body of Christ, Christians everywhere, the word of God. Do you get my point? That I'm not impressed by a man gathers 500,000 people in one service. Not because it's bad, but it just doesn't mind the sense of purpose for me. Do you get my point? It doesn't work like that. What tickles me, what excites me, is that our books are moving. Do you get my point? Because it tells me more people are reading. What excites me is that we have more CDs out. I went to Nsukka last week. Actually, it was this week. It was Sunday. Yes, Sunday. Today is Saturday. And one young man, he said, how is Deji, your brother? And I looked like, first one was like, you know him? He said, I have heard all your messages. Any name you mention, I know the best. I'm serious. He said he has a stack of MP3s. His computer is full of them. He literally had, that is, let me tell you how much he had listened to me to excite you. When I got there to preach, let me tell you from what, after he told me. So let me not give you how I got to find out. Let me just say the summary of it. He walked into the hall where I was going to preach. And he told them, you guys pull that pulpit over there. Pastor Banky won't stay there. Bring it down here. This is where he's going to preach from. So they didn't believe him. So he sat down. I didn't know him. I didn't know anything. I just walked in. He said, let's welcome to the microphone. I said, why is that pulpit there? Bring it down here. He started laughing where he was sitting now. We had never met. Listen, we had never met. He said, he told them, the man you people are waiting for will not climb that place to go and preach from. Bring that thing, because the hall was very big, and they put the pulpit on a particular platform, a bit out of reach. So, meanwhile, they had been doing everything from this zone. So, when it was time for the Michael Jackson to arrive, you know what I mean? They now went and put him on the stage. So, I looked at him and said, oh, you know what I mean? I know I'm not a very serious man of God. When I get to be, I don't do praise the Lord, Shema, Momo, Libra, Baba, Ma. No. I just say, hey, what's going on? Who put that thing for there? Come on, bring a computer for here. Everyone's there laughing. The guy told me at the end of the day that he has said it beforehand, that this guy ain't going to climb that place. How did he know? He said he had heard me so much. Once he saw that platform, he said, this guy ain't climbing that place. That is, he said, how's your brother? How's Deji? Your brother, I said, I know him, sir. I know him. everything I said, the guy had listened to everything. These are the kind of people that make me happy to remain in ministry. Are you getting my point? You saw today, they said I should take questions. I said, no, I don't have time, I'm going. They said, please, answer this boy's question. I called the boy, how old are you? He said, I will be 12 this year. That's what that boy told me. He said, sir, you said that the devil can't force anybody to do anything. What about God? Why does he not? This boy was asked. Jonathan was there. Jonathan was standing there like this looking. A 12-year-old boy. He was the only person. They said, answer a question. I said, no, please, I'm free, 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 I'm going. They said, please, sir. So I said, is he the one? I said, let him see me personally. So he followed me out of the hall. I said, what's your question? I stood there and I broke it down for him properly. Do you understand? He said, yes. Any other question? He said, no, sir. God bless you. You can go. 12. If you like, gather a congregation of 5 million people. I will abandon you, your 5 million adults, to go and talk to that single 12-year-old boy. I will. Jonathan, you know, Tunde and the other girl. I went to preach on the church 2 weeks ago. It was last week or 2 weeks ago. Before, when I see children, I want to be excited. But my experience the last few weeks, if you said that they are doing a crusade in primary school, I go. No, my experience the last 2 weeks. And like Jonathan said, God, there's a kind of anointing. Once I get to where children, young people are very young, a different anointing enters my head. When I saw this boy and his friend. Not boy had been entertained. You will talk, there's one girl, the girl was looking at me as if she was going to pass through my eyes into my brain, collect all the doctrine, swallow it, and go back to her seat. Those two children would not be more than 15. 14, 15, that would be their age. There were three of them, Tunde, his friend, and this other girl. I know, because that's Tunde, there's a reason why I know his name, and that after he came to talk to me also. And when I look at it, these are the people who are coming to hear the word of God. Listen, the 1 million man congregation doesn't move me. Are you getting what I'm saying? No, it does not move me. I'm just so concerned about the word of God pouring into people's lives. Recently I told myself, for those of you who are interested, please pray with me. Let's get back on radio. You know why? I don't know, say I get congregation. Do you know what it's called? Congregation. People that feed on this word. That is, the woman I told that came to see me last week, actually earlier this week, she said, after I heard your messages, I began to live. You hear what I said? She said, I began to live. I wasn't living before. She told me all the experience and everything. She said, but after I heard those words, I began to live. Therefore, listen, I don't get time for choir. I'm not saying choir is bad, but I'm just impatient. What burns in my heart? I'm talking about sense of purpose. So they tell me, there's no light in Nigeria. What's in concern light? Concern light in Nigeria when Mungo Park they ride over the Niger. When those men came to Africa, was there light? What's the name of the other one? The missionary to Africa, that celebrated one. Yes, David Livingstone. The man will sit down and say, when he will be back home in England, and say the smoke from 1,000 African villages are burning holes in my heart. He couldn't stay. Listen, when he arrived, lion removed his hand. Do you get my point? A lion attacked him, virtually ripped his hand out of the socket. The hand became withered. Yet the man said, the smoke from 1,000 African villages, because late in the evening, in the jungle, you'll be seeing the smoke rising from different areas, knowing that each one represented one village. Each one represented one village. So when you get back home to England, the man won't be able to sleep. He will take the ship again and he's back. Why? Because God had commissioned that he should go and make these people inherit the land. You know, like Joshua. You are getting what I'm saying? That's what real faith is. I'm not like the one man said, I'm not analyzing his life in details. I don't know much about it, but for a man to leave the comfort of England of those days and come to Africa just preaching this gospel of Christ. That's what faith is. Ah! Our only faith is, praise God. And now I drive a Lincoln Navigator. Hallelujah. Yeah, you know, it shows that God is good. And I drive this in the presence of an unbeliever, he will believe. What if a cocaine man drives in front of him? If it's the size of your car that's now preaching the gospel, how rubbish is that? To drive in front of an unbeliever, he will know that my God is good. That's why he will give his life to Christ and he won't repent. Because he called him to a life of chop chop. Don't take any hardship. I'm not saying God doesn't give Lamborghinis. No, believe me, God gives them. No, listen. When God gives me money, me too, I'll buy one. You get my point? I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But that's not faith. Do you get my point? Those are blessings. It's okay. But that's not what? Faith. Those are blessings. That's not what? Faith. It's not faith. You know why I say it's blessings, not faith? It didn't say the blessing of God is riches. It didn't say so. The blessing of God makes rich. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why people say that, John the Baptist was not walking in knowledge. If he understood the knowledge of God, he would have spoken and he would have been silk, would have been wearing, and not locusts and wild honey. You know, when children are preaching, you know, I told that the problem we have today in Christianity is boys are the one preaching, men are not preaching. And no, it's true. No, listen, it's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. Paul said, if you go read in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says that when you should have been teachers, you still have need that somebody should teach you. What we have right now is that when you should be learning, you have now become a teacher. That is a day. That is a problem in Christianity. Our life of faith, our life of pleasing God, our life of walking in great faith, talking about how to increase our faith, is it will come to us as we sow the right small seeds. Last time I began to talk briefly about love, but I dropped that and let me explain the issue of purpose. And I brought the issue of, Joshua as our example. That courage and strength flows into the life of Joshua once he understands that he has been created to make these people inherit the land. Are you getting my point? And that once we have a sense of purpose, a sense of God's ownership over our lives, and we start working like that in small things, then great things will begin to happen in our lives. Listen, everything we said that God will do in your life will take great faith to bring them down. Are you getting my point? But that great faith does not come by striving and struggling. It comes by knowing the right things and making right choices at points, various points in life. And then God pours the matter of greater faith into your life. I discussed that in that book, Great Faith Can Be Us. And my good example, which was when God gave me that understanding, I began to write the book, was that woman, widow of Zarephath. I said that what if Elijah was lying? Do you get my point? We never thought about a lot of us. A stranger gets to your door and says that, yeah, give me your last meal, for it will never finish. Listen, if you believe him, you're either entirely stupid or you're entirely full of faith. It's one of the two. The question is, how do you know which one you are? And I give an answer in the book, and it's among the things we're talking about. All right? In that book, I said a number of things. One of them, I said, for her, it didn't matter. One thing was sure, prophet or not, he was hungry. That was certain. Prophet or no prophet, he was a hungry man. So if I gave him food and it doesn't multiply, at least I fed the hungry man in the process. And when a woman walks in love like that, God pours the real faith into her. The real faith, God pours it into her. If you walk with purpose in life, all those great challenges and problems of life, you'll be amazed. God will pour such great faith into you. You will download things far bigger than your imagination. Don't worry about it. I hope you've gotten the point I've made today.